Welcome to In Conversation with the GEOSC, a podcast by the General Osteopathic Council. I'm Stephen Bettles, Head of Policy and Education at GEOSC, and I'm also an osteopath, which means I also have to do CPD, and that's what we're talking about today. I'm joined by Laura Turner, who is an osteopath and one of our council associates. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello. Do you want to explain a little bit about what a council associate is for anyone who doesn't know, and say a little bit about yourself? Because we're talking today around CPD, and we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, just introduce yourself.
So I am Laura Turner, and I sit on council, or I attend council meetings. So I am an associate member of council who has a say within meetings, but I don't have voting rights. So any decisions that are made within council are spoken about and discussed, and I get to provide a newly graduated opinion, which is I've been graduated for 2 years now, so I feel like I'm a little bit past that bit now. So I'm coming up to the end of my time.
Yeah, you're maturing.
I'm
just looking at our website around council associates, just as a sort of it says the aim of the council associates program is to identify and develop individuals within the osteopathic profession who have the potential to undertake future non-executive positions, whether these be at the GEOSC or in other organizations. And it's around opening up the governance aspects of what we do as a professional regulator to those who might otherwise think, I've only just graduated, it's too soon. And in fact, you know, you've got to start somewhere. And this is a good way of kind of understanding that. So you've got an understanding of the workings of the GEOSC and of regulation, perhaps more so than some of your cohorts. You said you graduated in, was it 2022?
2022.
Yeah. So it's coming up for 3 years now. So you're in the first year of your CPD, your first CPD cycle, rather than the first year, your last year of your first CPD cycle.
Yeah, exciting times.
And we were I think chatting at a council meeting around CPD and people's different approaches to it, and we thought it might be helpful just to have a conversation around your experience of undertaking that first kind of CPD cycle. And you mentioned that, I think, also that you've been talking to some of your friends from your own cohort who were obviously going through the same sort of experience as well in terms of meeting the CPD scheme. And just to talk through any particular aspects that, and to give you the chance to ask questions or make comments or whatever that might be of use to others in a similar situation, really. Shall I just say, I mean, when we talk about the CPD scheme, so the current CPD scheme was an update of our original one, and the current scheme, it's not the new scheme anymore because it's been going since 2018, but there are different aspects to it. So it works over a 3-year cycle. There's a requirement of 90 hours of activity over that 3-year cycle as a minimum, and half of that at least needs to be what's classified as learning with others, and it includes the elements, and none of this would be a surprise to anyone undertaking the scheme at the moment, but we still get questions around aspects of it, and the detail can be elusive sometimes to people. So there's a requirement to undertake CPD that reflects the themes of the osteopathic practice standards, not each individual standard, but the themes, and also reflects the breadth of your own practice. That it includes an objective activity, so something that enables you to get some objective feedback and insight into your own practice in some way, and there are different ways in which you can achieve that. Something around communication and consent as a mandatory element, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. And just to record that, so you've got an ongoing record of your activities, really. And the whole thing ends in a peer discussion review, which sounds quite formal, and to an extent it's a formal process, but in some ways also it's just a structured conversation with a colleague that you are able to select and to work with, and you know, could very easily be someone you know unlike and are friends with potentially or work with. You know, there are kind of, you know, lots of it's not something that's imposed on you, and that conversation is where you are able to demonstrate to that other person, to your peer, how you've met the requirements of the scheme and get it signed off. So that's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about the CPD scheme. So I mean, you're coming up to the end of your first cycle. How has it gone for you? What's been your experience?
It's been quite good. I mean, I think that especially having just graduated, I found it quite hard knowing which courses to do, because there are so many things that you can go and do. And so it's quite overwhelming, I think, to start off with. But then it's also quite exciting, because we are very lucky, I think, as osteopaths, because we can go in any direction and there's a lot out there for us. So it doesn't have to be too targeted. But I found it quite helpful now that I have a bit of a direction with what it is that I'm wanting to learn. So that's been quite useful.
And what was your approach to deciding the direction that you would take in terms of your CPD and presumably your practice as well, I guess, really, because that would relate to that?
Yeah, I think I've always wanted to work with people with chronic pain and chronic fatigue. So a lot of my focus is into those sorts of areas. And I was finding more so that I was seeing quite a lot of women. So this year in particular, I've targeted all of my CPD around women's health sort of concerns and things.
Yeah. And you mentioned about courses as well. And I suppose one of the challenges, particularly for a profession where people are, to a large extent, not everyone, but a large number of the osteopaths on the register are self-employed. So you've got to fund this. You don't get it as part of your employment as well. Going on courses is one way of meeting your CPD, and it's quite a kind of nice contained structured way of doing that. But have you undertaken any CPD that was less formalized or planned, you know, as well? Because you could easily meet those hours without going on the formal course potentially as well.
So I regularly attend our Exeter Encore group meetings, which happen about three times a year, four times a year, and they're all very, very interesting and involve sort of chatting with others. There's also the online, the IO magazine have articles in them which you can read, and I have done that and then chatted about those with a colleague. And then done sort of general chats with colleagues about sort of certain conditions if somebody's come into the clinic or something like that. So the only thing I have with those is that I do seem to forget to write a lot of them down, which, I think I'm assuming that is okay.
I think that's something that happens for a lot of osteopaths. And when we look at, when we evaluate how osteopaths do CPD and what they do and how they do it, it's not unusual to get that. Well, I do loads of CPD, but I just don't write it all down necessarily. You know, or they just don't recognize it as CPD. They just see it as part of their daily life. You know, you see a patient with a condition that you're not that familiar with, or you've forgotten some of the details of, and you look it up. You know, and that's kind of how you do your job. But all of that is potentially development, which could count as well if it was recorded, and it's the translation of that activity into something that's kind of demonstrable that makes a difference in terms of being able to claim that as CPD. And you mentioned also there about, you know, like reading some of the IO stuff, because they do sort of CPD articles, don't they, on a particular condition or whatever, that are really quite detailed and then give you some prompts to discuss with others. And it's that discussion with others that brings it into the kind of learning with others kind of category. Is that something that you've found, you know, does your CPD tend to be learning with others, or is it a sort of an equal split between doing stuff on your own and learning with other people as well?
I think there seems to be a fairly equal split. I've done quite a lot of reading, but I think that, like you say, is a normal thing for osteopaths. We will just sit and read about different things, yeah. And get lost in sort of research holes, as it were. Yeah. But I think a lot of the learning with others would more be on the courses or those chats with colleagues, really.
Yeah, we get asked around that quite a lot, actually, about what counts as learning with others. You know, if I meet online with colleagues, is that learning with others? And we were speaking about this, weren't we, in our sort of pre-podcast discussion around what counts as learning with others. And this hasn't changed with the kind of advent of the updated or enhanced scheme. It's kind of always been the case, but we've always had as osteopaths to do a combination of activities that, you know, at least half of which should be learning with other people. And just being in a room with other people doesn't necessarily mean that you are learning with other people. I think that's always been the case. But it's difficult to recognize sometimes. And I think what brings it into that category truly of learning with others is that interactive element. But we were saying, weren't we, that it's gaining insight into your own practice, I guess, from those interactions with other people, hopefully that you're a part of. But you might share those, you know, conversations with other people, hear discussions and things that help you make sense of what you do, or to look at it in a different way or perspective. And it's that rather than just sort of sitting down and reading a chapter in a book, it's gaining insights and from others, I guess, really, and that interactive element, that opportunity to sort of contribute to the discussion and things like that. So whether it's in person or online, makes no difference from that perspective. It's just the fact that you're learning from other people and being able to kind of interact in some way, I guess, is what we're thinking about.
There's lots of reflection, isn't
there? There is that, and it doesn't have to be complicated reflection. I think this brings us on to sort of the record keeping, I guess, in some ways. That, you know, one of the requirements of the CPD scheme is to record your activities, and you know, as you say, probably all of us as osteopaths miss some of the stuff that we do because, you know, time passes and you think, oh, I'll jot that down later, and then you just don't. and 2 years down the line, you've no hope of retrieving that. But we don't prescribe how you do that. You could do it in an online form in some way, or portfolio, or whatever. Or I keep a Word document these days that just kind of with a little template that I just did that shows what I did, a little summary of it, how it relates to the themes of the OPS, whether it was learning with others or not. It's kind of, you know, it's just something that I kind of, you know, that kind of captured the important elements, and I try to do that reasonably quickly after I do that activity, because if I don't, then it's kind of gone. And I and anything that I get that sort of supports that, like if I attend something where there's a certificate or there's a set of slides or something like that, I try and just save them within a folder online. You know, I just dump stuff so at the end of that period, I've got a kind of a record of what I've done and some evidence to kind of demonstrate that as well. I mean, is that the sort of approach that you've taken as well?
Yeah, I currently have about three different places, or I started with one and I've kind of transitioned. So I started with an Excel document. Now I'm using something on a thing called Notion, which is like a notepad thing. Okay. And means that I can have little toggle bits so I can write my reflection or whatever it is that I want to in there, which I'm finding quite useful. But yes, and I also have a folder called CPD. I don't have it all in separate little folders. Presumably that would be quite a good idea. maybe next year I'll
do you know, well, I've never been audited as an osteopath in, you know, 27 years or whatever it is of being an osteopath. I've never been asked to provide anything. And I could be. The fact that I work at the GIOSC is neither here nor there. I could still be selected for auditing. And I just think, you know, what would be the easiest way of being able to comply with this if I ever fall into that sort of, you know, please send evidence of. So, yeah, I try and keep it kind of organized. But I do understand that it's not always the easiest thing to do. And I used to have, you know, I look up and I can see some sort of folders here that are probably old CPD folders of stuff that dates back years that I just, when I had just paper copies of things, but I try and avoid paper copies these days, really, just because it makes life easier for me.
I think something that I've found quite interesting in one of our chats was surrounding certificates and evidencing what it is that you've done, which I think is worth mentioning, because I always thought that you'd have to have something really, you know, a professional certificate that then showed this exact thing, but you obviously can't have that if you sit down and have a chat with a colleague or
I think so. I mean, the you know, if you and I were having if we were sort of having a general discussion around, you know, a particular approach to patients in a, you know, with a certain condition or whatever, or what kind of, you know, and we found actually we spent an hour discussing different approaches and what works and the kind of evidence and research behind it and things, you know, we might think at the end of that, well, let's this is CPD, we've done an hour of CPD here and we both learned something and gained some insights into different approaches and things like that, and we could just write that up, you know, between us, kind of thing. Actually, what have we learned? How does it relate to the OPS? In a very basic kind of reflective, you know, the sort of what, so what, now what, you know, what have we done? What has been the impact of that? And is there anything, does it lead to anywhere else? Are we thinking, well, actually, I'm going to change what I did as a result of that, or I perhaps need to do a bit more development around that and to find out a bit more. And it's that recording of that makes it claimable, not the fact that, you know, there's an official certificate necessarily. So certificates are useful in, you know, as a quick way of, you know, I've done a weekend course and the CPD provider has given me a certificate to confirm that I did that, and, you know, that's all great. But, you know, it's not the be all and end all. The main thing is that you've done it, and that you've, you know, your reflection and your narrative is more important than the certificate, really, because you might have been asleep for three quarters of it, as far as, you know, we don't know. It's more about how, you know, how you translate the experience of that into something that's relevant for your practice, and not in a kind of, you know, we need a 2,000 word essay explaining that. It should be proportionate and doable, but something that just demonstrates the impact of that activity on your practice, really, in some way. I have been asked in the past, you know, I went to a CPD event and it was absolutely rubbish. Can I still claim it as CPD? And you kind of think, well, did you gain anything from it? You know, is there anything that you can eke out of that experience that would contribute to your professional development? You know, the notion is that, you know, osteopaths are registered, regulated health professionals, and there's an element of trust that goes with that, in terms of, you know, having a certificate is one thing, but being honest and having integrity in terms of what you claim and do as well is the other thing, is that, you know, there's an element of trust involved. And as I say, I kind of try and jot something down quite quickly, and it may not be, you know, it may not be more than a couple of sentences that just illustrate what it, you know, what it is, and why was that helpful to me. And that's the habit I've got into, of, you know, that it's helpful to me, and my role is kind of different. I don't see patients these days. You know, I stay on the register. I am on the register, but I don't have to be in order to do my current job. But I do try and, you know, I interact with a lot of osteopaths, and I think about the impact of that on, you know, my understanding of osteopathy, and you know, it's I could go back to practice at some point. You know, there's always that possibility. So I kind of have that in the back of my mind that if I were to do that, I'm not saying I will, but you know, if I were to do that, how would I relate my development activities to that? What use would it be to me? And so I try and think of it in all sorts of different, from all sorts of different perspectives, I guess, really, when I record my stuff, but at a fairly top level. And all of that leads to a peer discussion review, like we said. And one aspect, we thought it might be helpful, I think, didn't we, to think about how, you know, the peer discussion review is a structured conversation. It's not overly complicated, and it's not a kind of deep dive into the evidence of your activities. You know, if you say to me, yeah, I did this, this and this, I'm not going to look at all of your kind of evidence for that. You know, there's, as I say, an element of trust involved. But we thought one aspect of the peer discussion review is around the requirement to do some communication and consent activity. And we're currently, so at the time of recording, we're consulting on the potential addition of some elements to that mandatory activity of some work on boundaries and on equality, diversity, inclusion, that fall within that kind of communication and consent sphere as well. But for the current cycle, in terms of that conversation, it's really, if I were your peer now, I would say to you, well, can you tell me what you've done to meet that requirement to do some activities in communication and consent? What have you done? Let me know.
Well, I feel like I've got quite a lot in that at the moment because of having focused everything on women's health things for the last year. So luckily, I can quite happily say that I've really hit that mark with communication and consent. I did a course with SCCO on gynecological presentations and another on with the Mummy MAT physiotherapists, and all of that involved a lot of communication and consent. We were doing internal assessments with the Mummy MIT, which obviously involves very, very in-depth communication and very, very, very stringent processes when it comes to gaining a person's consent prior to doing any treatment or anything.
So the guidance kind of is not overly prescriptive in terms of the amount. It's more about the outcome than it is about the hours spent on it. Although the guidance says if you've done around 3 hours of activity in communication and consent over that period, the 3-year period, then that's probably sufficient. But it's more about how you kind of reflect on and demonstrate that. And like you said, from an impact on practice perspective, if you're focusing on women's health, and so the one of the key standards that's referenced within the current peer discussion review form is around A4, the consent standard within the OPS. You know, that acknowledges that consent doesn't have to be in writing in most cases from patients, but it says it should be if you're working on an intimate area, and you've kind of thought about that and looked at the standards in relation to that and the implications and impact of that on your practice from that perspective. So all of that to me sounds very you know, a sort of a good narrative for having kind of met that requirement. We find that a lot of osteopaths might do a specific CPD course. You know, there are providers who will do something on communication consent as a specific activity. We sometimes do that ourselves. I will trundle around to regional groups, either in person or online, and do some stuff on communication consent, for example. And that might cover everything in one hit. Or it might be that you like you've articulated there, kind of done bits and pieces that fall within a kind of a larger course, so a more clinically based course, but that incorporates elements of communication and consent. And anything that you do that helps you think about how you communicate with patients, what you say, the language you use, and the impact of that, I think is claimable in the context of that standard as well. So yeah, I mean, I would happily sign off your your communication assent element as a result of that conversation, because if you've done a few courses, how many minutes of each of those courses was devoted to communication consent? It infiltrates everything, doesn't it? It's such a part of everything that you do that it's kind of difficult to distinguish, really. It just forms part of that stuff. And how I think about it as well, for any kind of thing that you're claiming, is, you know, what do I do differently now than I might have done 3 years ago, or before that particular activity? And if you've got a good narrative as to what that is, then that sounds like pretty good CPD to me.
I think it's quite hard because our courses were very much centered around communication and consent. I think because newer courses are very hyper aware of the communication and consent areas. I think I have been very hyper aware of how I communicate with patients and how they might perceive what it is that I'm about to do, or whether they're in agreement with what the treatment is. So I'm not sure that I've massively changed. Obviously, I wasn't getting people to sign a piece of paper prior to this, but
that may be it, mightn't it? I think it's perhaps in your case, it's more about, not that you've necessarily changed. It's not that what you were doing before was wrong. It's just that you didn't see so many women with those particular conditions. So there's been a requirement for you to modify your practice, and your how you manage the communication and consent elements has had to change as a result of the change in your practice, really. So the two kind of have gone together, I guess.
Yeah, I think, and it is interesting. I think even just reflecting, obviously I had to think about that just before we were doing the podcast, and just reflecting on those different areas, it does make you think, and you are likely to have changed things. You just might not be fully aware of what it is that you have changed from doing that. Mm.
When we started to bring in and to discuss with osteopaths, and this is going back years now, before the scheme was introduced, the notion of a sort of compulsory element on communication and consent. I remember some osteopaths saying, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. Why on earth do I need to kind of change or to do any activity in this area? Because that's what I do all day, every day. And I did think at the time that actually I've been doing it a long time as well, but it's still, I find it helpful to kind of step back and think about, what you say and how you say it, and the different patients come in, and you need to adapt and change. You can't say the same thing to everyone, and there are legal requirements, and that we, you know, as healthcare practitioners need to adhere to. But there are also those, you know, just the human requirements of establishing that therapeutic relationship in a way that's effective, and that you do communicate with the patients in a way that they can understand, and give them the opportunity to ask questions, and to underpin that kind of shared decision making and patient partnership elements of practice. And all of that is, you know, it doesn't just arrive one day and then that's it for the rest of your career. It's different for every patient, I found, you know, that you would kind of, you know, you may say similar things in similar ways, but there's a subtle kind of change, and you see people's reactions and you read their faces and you kind of think, actually, no, I need to explain this differently, because I'm not sure that you've understood, and give them the chance to kind of ensure that they have, or to kind of step back a little bit and revisit at the next visit. And all of that is complex, and having the opportunity to not a kind of tick box, yeah, I've done this, that's fine, I've met that requirement, but to actually think about it at a deeper level and to talk about that with colleagues, you know, I even now when I don't see patients, you know, I still think of it as a useful activity. You know, I know a lot of osteopaths, and so I kind of get involved in discussions with those, and I talk to a lot of osteopaths in my professional role as well, I guess, really. So yeah, I find that a sort of continued source of interest, really. So I think it is, like you said, it kind of, you know, your attitude and your approach to communication reflects your changing practice and kind of maturity and that relationship with each individual patient, to me, really. So was there anything else that you wanted to ask in relation to the CPD scheme? We've talked about what the scheme is, your approach to kind of thinking about it, and the kind of things that you found a little bit challenging, your approach to meeting the scheme, your communication consent stuff, how you've approached that, and the recording of evidence and things. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
I suppose it's just it would just be around sort of thinking about the other areas of the OPS and the way that we sort of recognize those. And is there, when you do yours, do you have like set titles? And for the life of me, I can't remember them all now.
Yeah.
But is there, I've always got the
yeah.
communication and consent, so, and then there's the objective activities.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So in terms of relating to the OPS, so I mean, it's not the individual standards, it's around the themes. And so you've got the communication and patient partnership. So, and we've talked like today in terms of the work that you've done around communication, as we've been discussing, you know, you've kind of, you know, demonstrated that you've done something in that kind of area. Knowledge, skills and performance. Well, I mean, it's almost a given that if you've done some CPD, it's kind of enhanced, it can relate to that theme, because it either enhances your knowledge of a particular area of practice or particular skill, or you know, it's enabled you to kind of enhance what you do and the way you do it, and those kind of things. So that will tend to be a kind of you know, demonstrable in most activities. The safety and quality in practice, again, will come up in a lot of activities, particularly the kind of clinically based practical application ones. But you've got, you know, stuff in there around taking a case history, patient evaluation, monitoring of treatment, those kind of things, and the taking of a case history and what that should look like and how you record information, those kind of things as well. And then the professionalism one, which has got the most standards in it of all of those themes. And sometimes osteopaths can be a little bit confused as to how they meet those that particular thing. But it covers a lot of stuff: confidentiality, you know, patient notes, storage and destruction of patient notes, honesty and integrity, a lot of ethical kind of issues that come up could relate to that particular thing. Boundaries, you know, massive area in terms of establishing and maintaining effective boundaries with patients, not just in terms of sexual boundaries, but the kind of, you know, the more complex, subtle, nuanced boundaries that apply to you know, all osteopaths who are sort of seeing patients, and how you navigate those complexities. So that's a sort of big area for the professionalism theme as well, but also things like supporting colleagues, managing a practice, and how you offer support to others, and those kind of things. You know, some of the more not always clinically based stuff, some of the more complex sort of practice management type elements might come under that. There's often most activities, certainly things that I kind of do, most activities, it would be very rare for only one theme to relate to that activity. You know, generally it's two, often three, and in many cases each of those themes kind of could crop up at some point. And the you know, in terms of the requirement of the OPS, it's of the CPD scheme, It's about, you know, doing something in relation to those themes, you know, not every week, not every month, not every year even, you know, it's within that 3-year cycle. So it's very achievable. The thing sometimes people forget, I think, is around the making sure that your activities reflect the breadth of your practice. So if you do a particular, have a particular approach to treatment, or, you know, you do a lot of sports stuff, for example, or like you said, you know, you're trying to focus on treatment of women, women's health and things like that, that would be reflected in your activities to an extent. Or if you use particular adjunctive therapies, if you use, you know, dry needling or acupuncture in some way, that actually you'll do some stuff within your CPD that relates to that. If it's a sort of large chunk of your practice, it would seem wrong to ignore that in your CPD planning and provision as well. So yeah, that kind of thing. And it generally that will happen dynamically, because you tend to do stuff that, or one tends to do stuff that, you know, we're interested in, really. But it can be that you get to the end of that 3-year cycle and you think, oh God, I've just got on with it and I haven't actually thought about doing some work to keep those other areas up to date. So I probably need to, if not this time, then in my next cycle or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was finding that I was just ticking all of the boxes when I did my registration again. Yeah. And I was like, well, yeah, I've done all of those. But then I was questioning whether or not have I really? But I suppose,
yeah,
you know, it's professionalism wise, we're always thinking about that. We're always thinking.
Yeah,
about
there's things. Always something. And I kind of think that is, in terms of, yeah, that filling in that kind of when you renew your registration and you say, what have I done? And there's a difference, isn't there, between, have I done the objective activity? And that could be, you know, there's a whole range of things that could cover that, whether that's a, you know, patient feedback or some sort of audit or peer observation or case-based discussions with colleagues, those kind of things. There's different ways of achieving that. But it feels like when you've done it, you've done it. Whereas with the aligning to the OPS themes, it's a kind of, you know, I think of that every time. It's not just a one-off event. I kind of do that every time. So yeah, it looks every year like you're doing the same thing, but it's just because that's, you know, pretty much everything relates to one theme or another. It's been helpful to kind of think about how that does relate. And we found with, you know, although, you know, there was some questioning of, well, why is there a communication consent mandatory activity, you know, when we set the scheme up? And that was, you know, it was designed in collaboration with Osteopath. It wasn't something that was kind of, you know, just sort of dreamt up in a back room at Osteopathy House and imposed on the profession. You know, it was done collaboratively. But we've noticed, you know, one of the benefits of that is that the concerns and complaints around communication and consent have fallen over that period. So, you know, you get a whole year when there isn't a kind of issue around consent, you know, in terms of concerns and complaints data, you know, so that's a good thing. And it, you know, there's certainly an association between mandatory activity in that area. I think people are just generally more familiar now with the standards, and it's not necessarily an intimate kind of every standard you can recite, but it's an increased familiarity with what the standards are and what they mean and how your activities relate to those as well, which I think has been helpful for practitioners. So yeah, well, I hope for people listening that kind of has been helpful. I think, you know, for me, it's around CPD being a sort of a dynamic and meaningful set of activities over a period of time, rather than a kind of, you know, a tick box, you know, I've done that, you know, let's tick it off. Because osteopaths have always tended to do quite a bit of CPD, but they just haven't always been great at recording that. And, you know, that's what we as professionals have to do. How about you? Any final thoughts or comments?
No, I don't. I think that's all been really helpful for me. I think actually going back over what I have done has been quite helpful as well. And I hope it's been really helpful for other people too. I think it's just interesting reflecting and speaking to colleagues that are other healthcare professionals is also quite interesting, just because they also have to do all of this. And you you know, there is, like you said, plenty available that is free, it's online, and we can just go and watch something, read something, and have a discussion with a colleague. It doesn't have to be a big £500 course that then you've got to record and things. So I think that's really good to take away. And I think that there's always somebody that is prepared to have a conversation to also tick off their CPD aspect to it as well, which I think is something that's always worth us remembering.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. If anyone has any questions in response to this episode, please email us at info@osteopathy.org.uk. And you can also take a look at the wide range of information on our CPD website, cpd.osteopathy.org.uk. Thanks, and see you next time.